Grace to you on this first Sunday in 2008, from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I'd like to begin and start off this year with a portion of a speech that's one of the most famous speeches ever written by William Shakespeare. It's recorded in his play, Henry V. Let me just give you a little background as to the situation. The forces of England under Henry V have gone over onto the continent to battle against the King of France and a great French army. And they've had some success as they've roamed about the countryside, but now they are actually surrounded by a great overwhelming force of the French, who are highly trained knights, well supplied, and the British army is quivering in fear. Their hearts have fainted. And Westmoreland, a friend of the king, says this to the king: "Oh, that we now had here but 1/10,000 of the men in England that do no work today." But then the king responds, and this is the famous St. Crispin's Day speech, and I'll just give you a few verses from it. He says, "What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. The fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Rather proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart, and his passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears fellowship to die with us. But we in this day shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition, and gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves a curse they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whiles any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day." Isn't that beautiful? Wish I could write like that. A word of encouragement to the troops. And I think the reason that this speech has been so famous is because it touches a chord inside each of us. This band of brothers that he speaks of. For we're designed by God to need to have fellowship with our fellow man. And this speech really touches a chord in our hearts about what we really desire and what we really need. Is that once in life and throughout our lives, we should be one amongst many who stand by each other's side, come what may, faithful to the end, closely knit, yes, a close and faithful crew, a camaraderie, a band of brothers. So before we go any further, is that what you desire? I know I've longed for that. And actually, it's what God says is designed into us from the very beginning. For if you can consider and look at Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam, right? He put him in a beautiful and perfect world. Adam was full of health and vigor. He had no sin to contend with, no devil to contend with. Everlasting life, a beautiful place, perfect fellowship with his creator God and Father. And yet, what does it say in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18? "Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him." What I want you to understand to start off today is that God has created us for two things. And without these two things, you just cannot possibly be happy or fulfilled, because this is how you're designed. You need, first, a right relationship vertically with your God, and also you are designed for a horizontal relationship with each other. And so, to be a band of brothers. And as he says here, "For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile." And so God's great design for us is that we would need one another. And what I believe would be the best is if we would express and live in that fellowship together. But unfortunately, you know, how it goes in America, we live in a world that is so totally disconnected with each other. America especially has always highlighted individualism. Remember the Lone Ranger riding off? You don't even get a chance to say thank you. He's gone. He's over the horizon. He's off by himself. And how many shows have you seen on the TV that have their theme a renegade cop who plays by his own set of rules, a vigilante who goes it alone? How many heroes are just the lone hero and not a band of brothers like is spoken of in Henry V? We live in a culture of individualism and separation. And so I find it pretty ironic that in a world that's so connected with cell phones and fax machines and text messages and phone calls and answering machines and all these other things we have to connect, we're one of the most disconnected generations that's ever existed on the face of the planet. People are marked by individualism, and I want to ask you, do you even know your neighbors? Maybe you do, but most people live a few feet away from someone they can't even tell you their last name. So what a far cry we've fallen from this band of brothers, we few, we happy few, who would die for one another, always faithful to one another. But happily, I have good news for you today. This is precisely what God wants for you and what he's going to give you. A band of brothers, a fellowship with one another that is so deep it will fulfill your greatest desires. For it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. And God is going to bless us with a harmony and fellowship to fulfill one of our basic needs, fellowship with our fellow man. So where's this written? Let's take a look at the scriptures. Actually, in our Old Testament lesson that Les read so well, in Ezekiel chapter 37, God promises this in the days long gone by. Verse 21 and following. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all sides and bring them to their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king over them all, and they shall no longer be two nations, no longer divided into two kingdoms. I will save them from all their backslidings in which they've sinned, and will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. You notice how many times the word one comes up in that passage? And God's promise to make one people, one nation under God, which is not America, but his people, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this is the great miracle of Jesus, that he came for really two reasons. First of all, to bring peace in our vertical relationship with God, but also, he wasn't done with that. Secondly, to bring peace on the horizontal plane, our relationships with one another, and to create in us one new man in the place of two, in the place of divisions, to make one cohesive fellowship, team, brotherhood, family of God. And so God came to fix both the vertical with him and also the horizontal. And he expressed this in his prayer, which we just read from the gospel. He says, I don't pray for these only, in other words, just for the disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word, for you, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So let me ask you this morning, is this your case? Is this your experience? Are we all one? One for all and all for one? Well, I think we're doing pretty well with that, but we can certainly do far better, as there's always room to grow in this. So what I'd like to talk with you now for the rest of the sermon is, how can we increase our fellowship so that you would be ultimately fulfilled in one of your most basic needs, to be bound and knit together together with your fellow man in a bond of peace and love through Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, let's take a look at our New Testament epistle lesson for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start out with this in verse 12 of chapter 12. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one," in other words, a physical body, "and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." So the first thing you've got to do, if we as a congregation are going to be that band of brothers, closely knit and fulfilling, is to recognize that already in Christ God has made you one body. We got to get rid of this old mindset that we are all just individuals. We come here on Sunday, and for the rest of the week, we're off by ourselves. No, we're a band of brothers 24/7, regardless of where we go after we leave this place. And each member, then, if you are all parts of one body, everybody's valuable. And let me just explain that to you with a little illustration. Can I have a volunteer from the congregation? All right, I'm going to prove to you right now that every member of your personal physical body is important to you, okay? I'd like a volunteer, please. No? Oh, Ron, great, thank you. Okay.
He's up front, I don't know what his problem is.
All right. You see this little knot here, Ron? I'd like you to put your thumb right on that knot, and I'm going to take a big swing at it, okay? And let me, just before you put it there, I want to get warmed up, so I'm going to take one whack first, okay, ready?
Yeah.
There's your thumb, okay? Okay, you ready? Okay, let's try it.
I trust you.
Okay. Hey, obviously, that's fine.
For a second. I got my thumb.
Obviously, Ron would not put his thumb there, even though it's just a little member. And I imagine that if I were to ask him to give me his pinky, he wouldn't do it. Or his little toe, or his earlobe. Nobody's going to give even the smallest little member of their body. Why? Because even though it seems insignificant for me to just talk about a little pinky or something like that, every member of your body is valuable and important to you. You need every little piece of it to be functioning. And I want you to know, as a band of brothers, every one of you is important. There is no pastor here carrying the church into the future. That's not my job. I have my job of preaching and teaching, but you have your jobs according to the gifts that God has given you, and each of you has to be using your gift in order to build up the body together. I don't carry the church. You don't carry the church. We together, as a band of brothers, will carry ourselves forward into the future as one. And that's how God has designed it. And it can work no other way. So the first thing you have to realize is that we are already made to be one body in Christ. And every member is important. But secondly, as I said, each member must use the gifts that has been given to them for building up the body of Christ. And therefore, if everyone's important, you don't look down on someone else. You would not take a hammer and whack your own finger. Why do you take your tongue and hit somebody down who is your brother or sister in Jesus? If you harm someone else, you harm yourself, for you are all together. Your welfare is their welfare, and their welfare is your welfare. That's why we're a band of brothers. We die together, we live together, we are the Lord's. And so we ought to use every gift that God has given us, our times, our treasures, our talents, to build one another up. For I remember years ago when I was sailing on the Westward, my first tall ship, and we were going north of Bermuda on our way to Nova Scotia. The further out to sea we got, I noticed, the more cohesive the crew. Why? Because 2 weeks sail from land with only water all around, we realized how much we depended upon one another. And so when I came off watch and went to sleep at midnight, and another watch came on, I could sleep peacefully only knowing this, that they were going to do their job just as I had done mine. And when they go off watch and go to sleep, I get up and take care of the ship and use my gifts to keep them safe. And that's how it is in the church. Your welfare is dependent upon my welfare. My welfare is dependent upon your welfare. So pray for me. If I start having a bad life and get caught in sin, you're all going to suffer. My preaching is going to go downhill. You're all going to be miserable. And likewise, if you slip in some way, my life is going to be miserable. Our welfare is based upon one another. So let's all use our gifts together to stand side by side to build one another up. And especially with respect to our tongues and what we say. For Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And I think as I look around at the world and the churches in their various denominations, I see lots of division. I see churches where it's a misery for people to come together, and almost in every case, it's because people have not controlled their tongues. And speaking harsh and poisonous words, they've so wounded each other as to be divided. Just the opposite of what our Lord has prayed for. For we have an enemy. The devil is like Julius Caesar. Divide and conquer. And he can easily divide. And I saw one instance of this of a friend of mine at seminary one time who was watching over a church that had no pastor. And just to show you how easy it can be, there were two ladies who were arguing and bickering and quarreling over a little party that they were having at church, and they wanted to know, was it going to be oatmeal cookies or chocolate chip cookies? And they got into a big spat over it, and each of them dug in their heels and said, the congregation needs oatmeal raisin. The other said, chocolate chip. And then Satan laid his snare. And he said, and he made the situation so hard, they had to go to a third party. They went to my friend Derek as pastor there. They said, well, pastor, we're having this discussion. We're not sure which cookie. What do you think? Just imagine, if he'd said oatmeal raisin, he'd have one friend and one enemy for the rest of his life. And so likewise, if he said chocolate chip. Even in the little small things, Satan lays his snares to break us, to divide up this band of brothers, because standing together we can't be stopped, but divided we fall. And so we need to stand close and be careful with our words and love one another and use our gifts all this year, 2008, to build each other up and fulfill one of our deepest needs, which is brotherhood with our fellow man. Of course, inevitably, though, we fail. We sometimes make mistakes. We either say something wrong, someone interprets it wrong. This happens in families, in churches, in marriages, and division can occur. But God is rich in grace and has provided for us a wonderful medicine. You know, if you take a body, like a physical body, and it has an infectious disease or a foreign body get into the skin, your body is actually well supplied with a defense mechanism, white blood cells, that go there immediately and begin to counteract the poison in the bloodstream and eventually to eradicate it from the body. And God has given us this gift also in forgiveness. God has reconciled us vertically with himself through the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And now he wants us to horizontally reconcile with each other and keep the bond of peace through this same forgiveness. And God is so concerned and heartfelt serious about this that he says in Matthew 6:15, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. See, God is not just interested in your reconciliation with him, although that's number one and must come first, but it's so intimately connected with the other one, which is horizontal, that he actually connects it with it and says, if you do not love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? And so let us practice forgiveness with one another whenever we do fall, as we do at times, to keep the bond of peace. And then finally, what does the body need but a head? You know, sleepless, sleepy hollow, headless horseman? That's not the church. We have a head who is Jesus Christ over all the church, and from him we take our direction and our orders. You know, sometimes, well, I like to go out and exercise through the week, and as I'm running, my head's saying, keep going, keep going. My body's saying, I don't want to do that. This is painful. But it follows the commands of the head because it believes that the head ultimately has its good in mind. And it's true. When I push myself, eventually the whole body feels better. And so whatever God tells us this year, whatever Jesus, the head of the church, tells us, let's follow him, because what he is doing is he is fulfilling your greatest needs, a relationship with him and a relationship with one another. You can think of the cross. Both are important, vertical and horizontal. And so we shall have one shepherd, one king, one Lord, one prince, one salvation, one faith, one church, one baptism, one spirit, one God and Father of us all, one mission under the bond of peace. And I conclude then with these words from Psalm 133 and then Shakespeare. Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And then, if you can just imagine Henry V's words now being those of Jesus Christ. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition, and gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. Amen.